Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, and welcome to episode 31.
I was thinking, so today's topic, we are going to be talking about the movie Clueless, which is the 25th year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking last night, I wish this was episode 25. Like, we could just, like, keep it all in line with...
Next time. We'll keep it going from here on out. Yeah.
But then I texted you. I was like, oh, my God, it's only been 24 years. Is it okay if we still talk about it?
It's totally okay.
Yes.
I really like this movie.
Oh my God.
It's like such a classic. I was probably in high school when this came out. 25, 26?
No, it was 95.
95. So oh, probably, just kidding. I was way younger.
Right. I was like, I don't think so.
I can't do math.
I remember it too. Like, I wonder if this was like the first movie of kind of what we were talking about, like this high school themed, you know, falling in love type of movie. I wonder if Clueless was the first. No, it wasn't. Maybe if the one 90s, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I remember when it came out, though, I went and saw it at the movie theater. Uh-huh. I think it was the summer after I graduated 8th grade, if I can remember right. I saw it literally 6 times in the movie theater in that weekend. Like, I fell in love with this movie the first time I saw it and kept going back.
Yes.
And even last night when I'm watching it, I'm saying all the lines.
I know.
25 years later,
it's
still
one
in
that
me.
Just... I know, isn't it crazy? It's crazy. That we remember. But, no, it is. And it's just so good. And, like, I don't know. I think, you know, it has this kind of, like... California ditzy kind of thing, but it's actually very smart, and there's a lot of cool themes in it. But I was also such a sucker for all movies that had to do with makeovers.
Oh my God, me
like
too.
Like, any movie that had to do with somebody getting a makeover, I was all about. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny thinking about that now, because, you know, the messages that we sometimes get about looks and about, like, oh, what's going to make you popular or not. And I know we'll touch a little bit about that, but it could be from all these movies that I loved about makeovers. So
for sure. I mean, it has to play a role in that. I loved Cher's computer that she had with the outfit.
The closet,
Oh, my God.
I dream about that still.
That is the future.
It is. I think there's actually apps where you can take, like, pictures of article of clothing, and then you can look at it. I know.
Oh, my God. It has finally arrived.
It seemed way too time-consuming, but if you're all about it and have always dreamed about having a Cher closet...
Yeah.
There's
today's
apps
the day.
For it.
Today's the day. Find
apps
out.
For it. Exactly. So overall, I mean, hopefully most of you have seen this.
If you haven't, you're living under a rock. It's amazing.
Exactly. So, general premise, popular gal named Cher has a best friend named Dion. Mm-hmm. You know, Cher becomes a matchmaker for two of her teachers and decides she loves helping others so much that she ends up taking a non-popular girl, whose name is Ty, under her wing and tries to make her popular. And then so much ensues from all of that. And we'll be touching on a couple themes from that. Mm-hmm. With the first one being, you know, Cher's role in helping. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned earlier, she kind of got into the whole helping role because, so a little bit of background, her dad's a lawyer. And so I think she's learned the skill of, like, I can negotiate everything. Mm-hmm. And so she was not getting great grades in this classroom, and she figured, oh, if I hook up two of my teachers together, they'll be happy, and happy people give good grades.
That's exactly what she said.
Yeah. And so, I mean, logically, totally makes sense. And so...
I mean, you never know.
Exactly. And so, hooks them up, and they are happy, and she gets this good grade. And so, I think that her idea of helping others, I mean, in that example, you know, had a how does it benefit me kind of way. But that's how she got into the whole helping.
You know, it's funny, as I'm listening to, because I, as you were saying, like, her dad's a lawyer and kind of their dynamic with each other, I wonder if her helping role started when her mom died. Mm. So she kind of becomes this helper in the family. Remember how she, like, gives her dad, like, breakfast or whatever? So she kind of has that helping motherly spirit in her.
Yeah.
But also, she is a product of her daughter, so she has those negotiation type of skills in her, too. And so we just kind of wanted to talk about how helping and working with other people, some of the pros and some of the cons with some of that stuff. Because I think Cher, and it was a little bit manipulative in a way for her to want to help the teachers to be able to get the grade that she wants. But it was also intended to be pretty good. And then it kind of inspired her to help her, the new kid, Ty.
Exactly. And I think the difference between both of those perspectives. So I think it starts as, you know, how is this going to be beneficial to me? And then later on realizes the good of it, you know? So you're right. When she's helping the teachers, it's because of her, because of the grades. Mm-hmm. But more going into the whole Ty situation, where, you know, she's so confident now that she was able to help these teachers and it was able to work out and she got her grade, that she's like, oh, I'm just gonna be a good soul and help this girl Ty out to, you know, become popular because I can. Mm-hmm. And so we see the whole, you know, makeover phase. And
when we kind of see, so we see Cher's first intention into, like, let me make this girl popular. And then almost instantly we see Ty kind of kicking back a little bit, like this, or pushing back a little bit, like, but what about this guy? Like, she already had mentioned that Travis, is that what? Yeah, that Travis was cute and that he offered her some weed and she was like, gonna take it. And she's like, oh, no, we don't do that. Yes. So you can see that there's a little bit of pushback, but Cher still stays on her mission to make sure that Ty starts to look the way that she thinks that she should look.
Exactly. And I think those are important words that you said, the idea of should, you know, that, you know, when we make someone over or, you know, want to make them popular, some of the thoughts that can go through our minds is, oh, what are other people going to be attracted to? What are other people going to find exciting or interesting? And so, like you said, at first, just very much appearances. I think they wash the red out of her hair and give her a change of clothes. But then it starts getting into that area where Cher does, you know, then start wanting to influence, you know, who Ty dates. And you know,
I think too, even the way that she talks, right? Wasn't there like a scene where she tells her to have a better, or teaches her or whatever, to have a better vocabulary as well?
Yeah.
So
there I can't remember the example, but
it was
is it when they're on the
when they're at the house and she makes her talk, add a new word into her vocabulary each day to sound smart.
Oh, yes.
Sporadically. That's how I knew how.
That's what sporadically meant
as an eighth grader. But yeah, I think that she, yeah, she starts out with the looks, but then she starts trying to kind of manipulate some other areas of her life. Mm-hmm. And even though you see Ty kind of pushing back a little bit, she also sees kind of some of the benefits that come with Cher and her crew.
Absolutely. But yeah, so I mean, I think also this idea that can help you pause when it comes to helping people. You know, there's many different reasons why we do this. You know, obviously sometimes it's very altruistic where, you know, you're not expecting anything and you're helping. There's other times where you are, you know, kind of expecting something in return. Sometimes having expectations as to what this help is going to mean. But sometimes, and, you know, and this is something to kind of, you know, kind of look within yourself, is that sometimes helping can be tied to your own self-worth. That if I'm not helping other people, what is my purpose? Or if I don't have a spot in somebody else's life, what is my purpose? You know, or you know, or that's how you get your value. And so so I mean, I think it's important to realize that when you are helping people, you know, what is that stemming from for you? And if it is, you know, one of the ones of, you know, of this is what my value is tied to, you know, being aware of it and seeing where maybe some growth can, you know, can be. Because in the end, of course, helping people is great, but not to your detriment. Or, like, if you're not getting, you know, the love back or something, that it makes you feel bad about yourself to help. So,
and I wonder too if maybe she's, let's say she is doing it to kind of let me get my own sense of value through helping other people, and then starts to see it that it feels good at the beginning, and then to maintain that feeling, continues to do things that maybe turn into the not so helping category too, because of trying to get that own need met, you know, if it's so just paying attention to when you help somebody, what really is the intention behind it? Is it really for that person, you know, or is it more for yourself?
Exactly. And you know, diving deeper into helping, I know with therapy, you know, a lot, you know, it technically is a helping profession. And I know that, you know, some fears that people may have in doing therapy is that, you know, I'm going to go in there and the therapist is going to tell me what to do. So basically being the share as to, like, this is who you should date, this is who you not should date, this is why. And that's not the case. You know, it really is much more of you being able to have a space to just be able to talk about things, sometimes having a different perspective to be able to point out, you know, automatic thinking that you have. But in the end, you know, you should be making your own decisions when it comes to your life. You're the one that has to live with the consequences. And so it isn't fair that somebody else chooses what to do. Kind of similar with, you know, Cher and Ty. That sure, you know, Cher may think that, oh, if you date Elton, you know, it's going to be way better for you. But she doesn't have to date Elton. And she realized that Elton was a jerk anyways. So, like, that would suck if you pushed your friend to do it. And she had to live with those consequences. So, yeah, I just wanted to touch a little bit about, you know, kind of the expectations of also therapists and how they can help. And you know, it shouldn't be somebody who tells you what to do, because you live your life.
And I think too, using Ty as a little bit of an example, because of her ability, I know at the beginning when she would push back, it was kind of dismissed, but as we see her confidence rise throughout the show, she eventually pushes back to the point where she's not going to back down from what she believes in. And I think to kind of in line with what you're saying about therapy, you know, oftentimes therapists are may make suggestions, or you guys may talk through some things, but that your voice matters.
Absolutely.
And then if you're feeling like maybe they're off the mark, or if they're suggesting something you're not interested in, that is very valuable to not only the person themselves, but to the session and the growth that can happen.
Absolutely.
So even though, you know, a therapist can give good advice for the most part, might not be the right advice for you.
Exactly.
Just like Cher thinks Elton is a good boyfriend, but maybe that's not the right guy for Ty.
But he's not. And like what you were talking about, Ty's growth, I mean, that's also another perfect example of, you know, her starting off as passive, and then once she gains the popularity and confidence, turns to aggressive instead of assertive. We all know the scene when Cher fails her driver's test, and Ty calls her a virgin who can't drive. And then, you know, she says, that was way harsh, Ty. And so, see, we don't need to watch the movie. And so, you know, kind of goes also into that, oh man, almost, you know, what have I created in a sense, you know, of like, you know, I just tried to make her popular, and then with that has come, you know, this communication that now is mean, and now this person that I've helped is treating me this way. And that's what I was saying, like, and I don't think it is for Cher, but, you know, if your self-worth is tied to helping, and that's how somebody who you help, like, responds back to you or treats you, like, that can affect you a lot. And so, you know, really looking at the intentions of helping people. But
and being careful that when you do help people, you're listening, you're also keeping a gauge on the people that you're helping as well, and trying to listen to them and make sure you know where they're at, and that it remains a healthy helping relationship.
Exactly. So the next topic we kind of wanted to touch on was just dating in general.
Yeah, there's lots of different examples.
There are different examples. We have, well, Dion and Murray, we start seeing them. They're like kind of the first couple that we see. And I think Cher even says, you know, oh, Dion's wasting her time because Cher doesn't date high school guys.
Even though she's only 15.
So we see Dion and Murray, Ty and Travis. Mm-hmm. Travis is the guy she actually likes. Mm-hmm. But it takes her a while to get to him because everyone thinks he should like somebody else.
Yeah. And he was so cute through that process. He kind of tried to change. Typical high school, you know, you're trying to still figure out who you are. Yes. But for the most part, he remained kind of the skater boy who hung around until Ty kind of figured out this whole mess that she got into.
Absolutely. And then there was Cher, who was trying to hook up Ty with Elton, but then Elton actually liked Cher, mm-hmm. and then he got super aggressive mm-hmm. with her, and she told him no, and she left, and then was, like, really annoyed about it.
Oh, I was thinking that'd be a good one to talk about, too, just because Elton, you know, at that moment when he was being aggressive with her after the party, he was saying, didn't you know that I was into you? Like, the reason I kept that picture was because you took it, not because Ty was in it, which I don't know what that logic is. But that he, in all throughout the movie, he's kind of touchy mm-hmm. with her, and he's always, like, has his arms around her. So the impression that Elton is getting is that there is a connection that's going on, and Cher's just totally in la-la land about
the messages.
Because she's so focused
on Elton and Ty.
She's not even picking up on the signs that are there. Exactly. And so they have this meeting where it's like, what the heck is happening here?
Exactly. And what a perfect example of just, you know, when things aren't directly communicated, where you're just relying on signs or like, you know, if I do this, they obviously must know.
Right.
You know, but we have to remember that these signs can be obvious to us, mm-hmm. but not to the other person. Like, their sign that somebody's into them can be completely different
than
what you're thinking they're picking up. So, such a perfect example of just miscommunication because nothing was talked about and it was just...
Yeah.
Assumed.
Just assumed.
Exactly.
And then both people were left feeling hurt and Cher left very vulnerable.
Yeah. And then the other one where Cher does end up, like, she's normally not into high school guys, but ends up liking Christian. And, you know, similar to, I think, like what you said of Elton was saying of, you know, she also tries to do little signs to make Christian jealous, you know, of sending herself flowers and, you know, kind of making it seem like she's so adored, to make Christian jealous.
Totally. So here Elton is trying, like, being kind of flirtatious and physical, thinking that is sending the message. Totally being missed.
Yes.
And then here's Cher, who's, if there's the appearance of me getting more attention on myself, of course somebody's going to want me because I'm desired, right? Thinking a message is going to send a message to somebody else through her actions. These high schoolers, jeez.
But what's so funny is, like, how accurate that is. Like, no, I mean... And not to knock high schoolers, because there are some high schoolers that I'm like, wow, your communication skills are just so great compared to what I had. But, you know, only being able to, like, look at myself or, like, maybe these movies of just, like you said, there are so many just kind of logical things that in high school just make complete sense that when you take a step back or you're looking at it, you're like, no, like, how did you think that? Or just this idea that you know everything. Like, by high school, you know everything. Yep. Like, you know who needs to date who.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what you need in your life.
Yep.
How to get what you want.
Yeah, that's
right. So, you know, and she learns that although, you know, her focus was, I'm going to get Christian, mm-hmm. Then I think Murray, you know, tells her, like, I think he's gay. And, like, that's why he's not into, you know, he's not kind of, you know. Into you.
Kind of solely focused on what her own mission was, you know, to the point of, like, manipulating the situation to get what she wants. absolutely missing the signs that he's not even into her.
Exactly.
And he's not really. Like, there's, I don't think he really ever, like, touches her or flirts with her. And
she tries, remember, when they're, like, watching the movie and then she, like, flips her hair and she falls off the bed. But, yeah, she tries and he's just like, oh, excuse me, like, I need my space.
Right.
Scoots over. But you're right, this idea of because we're so focused on a particular outcome and we're forcing something, like, very easy to miss, you know, signs that could be saying something else, you know, or, just the importance of that direct communication, because that's the only way you're gonna know what is going on. So if you haven't gotten the theme, it's just, you know, of like many of our podcasts, it's just ask directly. It's scary, but at least you'll know an answer.
That's right.
And then Josh, I know we haven't even like really brought him up, but there's a scene where Ty was mean to share.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Ty says, hey, I really like Josh. Mm-hmm. And I want you to help me kind of hook us up.
Yeah.
And Cher's like, I don't think you guys will work out.
This is not in my plan, Ty.
Yes, basically. Yeah. Not in my plan. I don't want you with him. Mm-hmm. Like, not good. And then that's when Ty gets upset and says all that she says.
Yeah.
And then later on, Cher does a little soul searching and realizes, oh crap, I like Josh, which is why I responded that way to Ty.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also that little mix. But again, going back to that theme of like, I'm so hyper focused as to like what I think I want that maybe the person who, you know, I would actually be happiest with, doesn't even make the radar until way later.
Right. It is. I mean, no, I think that is so true. I think if we all kind of looked at certain situations in our life that we want something so badly, and for some reason it's not working out, sometimes we have a hard time asking those questions of like, what am I missing? What am I not paying attention to? How do I kind of pull back the curtains and look at the big picture and see what could be missed here?
Yeah.
And it was, although it's never sat right with me that she dated her ex-stepbrother.
Her ex-stepbrother. Yes. I understand. I think when I was Googling just, like, information, and, like, wanting to read, like, some summaries that other people have, that was one of it. Like, were they related in, like, the Google searches? And I was like, oh, technically no, but I could see why it would be awkward.
Yeah.
So.
So that part always kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but it is what it is. And they were able to kind of finally figure out what it is that they wanted and clearly communicate their needs.
Yes.
And then,
voila. Exactly.
Love
exactly.
Happens.
And then in the way that Cher has learned of how I get people is to transform myself. So you see that
that's
once,
right. Oh, I forgot about
when
that part,
she realizes that, okay, I like Josh. Like, now I have to be a girl that he likes. So there's a scene where she's like watching the news when, like, before she had been like, oh my gosh, the news makes me so sad.
She's watching Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
What a 90s reference.
Yeah. And so then she goes into her routine and Josh is kind of like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't you. And he's known her because she was so herself when she didn't realize she was into Josh. And so he was able to get to know her and like her. And then when she started to change, he was like, no, I don't like this. But then after that, just the bigger lessons of, I think, Cher learning, like, you know, being yourself, you know, doing what works for you. Mm-hmm. You know, she's still in the helper role. I think she... What was the fundraiser at the end that she liked?
Oh, gosh, it was about the ocean.
It was about the ocean. Yeah. You know, she, like, still led that, but with everyone's help, you know, and it was very much just kind of this, you know, the final lessons of just being yourself is the best.
Yeah, and finding a healthy way to help those around you rather than more of, like, a what can I get out of this type of situation.
Exactly. So the bullshit message.
Yeah, which I feel like has been so, I mean, we've definitely talked around it, but it's being that you have to be a certain kind of way to fit in, or that, you know, you have to dress this way to become the popular girl, or you have to date this guy to get the attention that you want. And so changing who you are in order to, I guess, fit in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, to fit in or to get the attention of people that you want. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between, you know, changing yourself and also growing. Because I do feel like one of the benefits of being in a relationship is that you can grow as a person. But the, you know, where you have to kind of make that balance is, you know, am I doing this? Like you said, what's the reason behind it? And that's kind of the theme of you know, when we were talking about helping or now about this, like, what is the reason behind me doing this? Right. Is it because I want to, you know, for myself and this is what I get from it? Or is it because, like you were saying, you know, they're going to like me better or I'm going to be more accepted if I wear these type of clothes or something.
And I feel like it's funny, like, as we were, because we were kind of just talking this through, how relevant that feels today, this kind of pressure to, and I think, I know, I feel like I'm always like bashing on social media and I love it, but I also hate it. But like that, it does give us this, there is this sense of pressure to look or to be or to do certain things in order to gain followers or to gain that popularity. I mean, this started back in the Clueless days.
Yes.
I mean, we should have learned our lesson back then that you have to stay true to yourself and who you are and what you want and what kind of people you want to hang out with. And just because you dress a certain way doesn't necessarily elevate you into wherever you're trying to go. Yeah.
And I think it's that life lesson that I think everyone, you know, learns. It's like logically, you know, you think, oh, if I do these things, you know, external things are going to bring me internal happiness.
Yes.
And then, and I think this is, you know, this is an example of that. If, like, I'm dating the right guy, if I look a certain way, I'm going to be happy.
Right.
Versus they're really not, you know, once all of these
and
things happened,
that,
nobody was.
That.
And then
it
wasn't until they were true to themselves that they ended up finding that happiness. And so the other thing, speaking about social media, I don't know if you've recently heard, but Instagram is going to get rid of likes.
No.
So they're, you know, they had said they're pushing them out, pushing it out in like other countries right now. But like their eventual goal is that they'll get rid of likes so that it's not something that is putting pressure on people. I mean, obviously the influencers are like,
that's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, how are they going to make their money? Yeah.
But I mean, it's something that, you know, I'd be interested to see on how it does affect.
I am too.
You know, mental health sometimes surrounding about social media. So,
this is like so off topic, but I just have to get it off my chest. I don't know if you follow Kylie Jenner on Instagram. Of course I do. But she is launching a skincare line, and in her attempt at launching it, she and a bunch of girlfriends went on vacation to somewhere tropical. They took a private jet. Did you see some of these pictures? And so every day there would be one or two posts of Kylie and like a friend or whatever, and the shots are just gorgeous. I mean, the scenery behind them, the outfits they're wearing, the makeup is flawless, the hair is flawless, the bodies are just like the ideal body, if you will, I guess. And she would get, I don't know, I don't know the number, a crazy amount of likes in minutes. And I was just thinking, and I feel like there's been a little bit of buzz about this, but I haven't really seen anything about it. Just the kind of pressure, first of all, that it puts on other influencers. Like, this girl, like, friggin' wipes everybody out with one post. And is that really, I don't know, I guess I'm still something that I'm still working through. Is it something that is that an appropriate way to market something? Like, you just, you put a picture of your like cool body out and then you get billions of dollars for your skincare line. It just, something feels a little amiss with it.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that has.
That's the key right there. It works.
It works.
Yeah. It's,
and
like,
I just,
if to have that life, to look like that, to be able to experience that, I need to buy this lip kit.
Yeah,
or I need to
buy
this make or the skin line.
That's right.
So
I wonder if Instagram, if that has anything to do with this Instagram thing. Like, if they're just,
I don't know. I know they had talked about it for a while.
Had they?
But and then it's just now rolling out. So yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to see how it does.
I know.
Affect.
I'm shocked to hear that news. And I love it.
I know. I know. I'm interested.
It is exactly like this whole movie is kind of exactly what's going on in the real world, is that people try to be something maybe that they're not. Mm-hmm. And I do think that too, that there is a push to be more authentic online that's starting to gain more traction, which is kind of cool to see.
Body positivity, mm-hmm. body acceptance. Being vulnerable, you know, we do, like you said, we do live in a time now where that is being more accepted. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Instagram is also a very visual place, and we like seeing very beautifully crafted homes and people having fun and, you know, vacation spots. And so, like you said, kind of on a tangent, but, you know, also making sure your social media feed is things that are making you feel good, you know, because that can definitely affect, you know, how you think about yourself
especially,
or your life.
Yeah. Well, if you think about, like, Ty walks into this school being kind of vulnerable and new, and I'm sensing a New York accent.
Yes.
So she's coming from the East Coast to the West Coast. So this vulnerable person, and, you know, insert anybody who's vulnerable, mm-hmm. the things that you put around you, the things that you accept into your life, be careful of what those things are.
Yeah.
Are they really staying true to who you are?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to craft this idea of yourself in order to be more, you know, quote unquote, comfortable or whatever?
Exactly.
Which kind of leads us into the question we wanted to leave you guys with do you do that? You know, I think, you know, Stephanie and I were having a discussion about, I know I feel the pressure mm-hmm. to do some of these things, to dress a certain kind of way or mm-hmm. to make certain sort of changes in order to fit in mm-hmm. or to meet the expectations of maybe what other people might have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's, you got to be real careful about how much or how far you go into doing those things, and how much are you leaving your authentic self by doing so.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I don't want to knock, you know, taking care of yourself, or if you get your eyebrows done, or you can get eyelashes or whatever. Like, if you're doing it for you and, like, only you, then go for it, girlfriend.
Right.
Like, you know, take care of yourself
feel
that
good,
way.
Right.
Exactly. But if the deeper source is, you know, this is going to get me some, you know, happiness, or by doing this external change is going to get me some internal peace.
Right.
You know, look at that. Look at, like, the reality of that.
That's right.
Because as we know, external stuff do not
take a lesson
internal.
From Ty, people. Take
exactly.
a lesson.
Exactly.
And
so,
from Sharon Christian's relationship.
Exactly.
I mean, these things are... The lessons have always been there.
They have. We're just pointing them out now for you guys. So, you know, like Kelly was saying, the question of how much are you...
Changing,
you know, your appearance to fit in.
Or to represent a different side of yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. Again, not to shame you, not to make you feel bad, but it's more of just awareness and seeing in the areas where, you know, you do maybe want to be more authentic, or, ooh, you're right, I am maybe doing this to fit in, or, you know, or to get this person's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And be aware of it, and, you know, maybe, you know, figure out something different for yourself, or be able to talk to somebody about it. So there's many different ways to be able to work through that, but yeah, the first step is awareness.
That's
just
right.
Just figuring out if you're
that's
doing
right.
it at
and
all.
You're probably feeling it anyways. If you're already doing something, I was telling Stephanie I got fake nails, and they looked really good, and I really liked them, and I felt like my life was very together because I have them. And 2 weeks in, I hate them. They are not for me. I am not somebody that can handle fake nails any longer. I cannot itch my face or my body the way I want to with them. So, I mean, thinking about just, you know, little things. Am I doing things because they make me really feel good about who I am and what I want out of life? Or am I doing things because I want to represent this, you know, quote unquote version of myself that is accepted, you know?
Exactly.
So think about it, peeps.
Exactly. So that's the end of our episode.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week.
And I will see you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer. The information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.